We made it a core value to say, reveal the exceptional in everyone you come across at Active Life. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Last podcast. I don't know why I'm asking you that. I wrote the core value. You helped me with it, but I know the core value.
Yeah, look, I'm here for you.
I appreciate that, Cody.
Got you.
Last podcast. If you didn't listen to the last podcast Cody and I were on together, we talked about the example of overcoming the energy to help somebody, help their spouse understand why they need to buy something. Because for me, it's very frustrating when someone's like, I got to ask my spouse about this. I'm like, oh, and I'm not going to go into it. Listen to the last episode with me and Cody. It would be either the last Wednesday or the last Friday episode. I don't know what day this is going to come out, but that's when you would hear Cody and I talking about that. Today, what I want to do with you, Cody, is discuss what the core value means, why it's important, and how our listeners can actually get something from the podcast today about our core values.
Cool.
So you were the one who said to me, we should do another one, just spoken more explicitly about the core value. Why is that?
We started to touch on it. Like, we used one example, but I think there's so much more opportunity there to explain what reveal the exceptional everyone we come across means.
Go ahead.
There's like, we talked about the spouse. We talked about the people around you. We didn't have the opportunity yet to talk about what it means for the company, what it means to be a client at the flagship or in RX, or to be a client who owns a facility or is an ALP, right? Like, how are we using that core value to guide us to empowering them with that responsibility? Because, okay, you know, Les Brown talks about this, right? You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You want to be a millionaire, spend time with millionaires, and the likelihood that you become a millionaire goes up exponentially. You want to be a loser, hang out with losers.
Right.
I think one of the things that I've seen in my life, and I'm imagining you've seen this as well, once you start to make a different decision, you're like, no, I'm going to be unreasonable about this thing. I'm going to have an unrealistic expectation for how good my relationship can be, how good my life can be, how good my business can be. You want to bring everyone else with you. Not everyone else will choose to go with you, but you want that for the people who are currently in your circle. Mm-hmm. And then along the way, you might decide, okay, it's time to get a different circle, or only these three people are interested in coming and being this version of me with this version of me. Right. So what I'd love to understand is this. I love the core value, reveal the exceptional in everyone we come across. How do we do that? How do we talk about it? How are we teaching it? How are we living it?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me first dive into the words of it, because I think that the language was really intentional. And the reason the language is intentional is because describing it as revealing the core, the exceptional in everyone we come across, is totally different than developing the exceptional in everyone we come across. Mm. Revealing it indicates it's already there. Mm-hmm. Developing it means that we're the ones with the exceptional and we'll put it into you.
Yeah.
So we were really intentional about making it reveal, and then exceptional instead of excellent or, you know, world class or whatever else. It was exceptional because exceptional is indicative that we're talking about something that this person can do that other people cannot, and that this person does better than anything else that they do. It's the exception. Like, exceptional is their exception.
And everybody has that
everybody has it.
The unique ability.
Yeah. Everybody has it. And so our job is just to find what that is in them, and then make sure that they see it, and then make sure that they're able to execute on it. Mm. That's our job. If we can get everybody who we work with to focus 90% of their energy on the things that they are exceptional at, they're gonna crush. And it's like the opposite of what you should do in the gym. You go to the gym, you should focus on the 10% that you suck at. Mm-hmm. You go into the real world, you should focus on the 10% that you're amazing at. Mm.
That's an interesting parallel. I hadn't put that together before.
I made a post a few years ago that was something like, if you want to develop your person, spend 80% of your time on the 20% of things that you're great at. if you want to develop your body, spend 80% of your time on the 20% of things that you're worst at.
It makes sense in fitness. I like it in the person thing. Why? Okay, so I've got these things that I'm actually pretty good at. Mm-hmm. I've got this like a hint of exceptional. Why wouldn't I put energy into the other things that I'm not? Like, why wouldn't I want to raise that up?
So there's a minimum standard. And I think it's important for people to understand this. You're not allowed to be successful until you're good enough at all of the things to not be a liability. I can't tell you what the baseline for being a liability is. The world will. The market will. I have liabilities right now if we're trying to be successful at running a $100 million company. I don't know how to do it. And I have liabilities that are holding us back from doing that. I have to shore those up before we're going to be able to be a $100 million company. And I need to be exceptional at what I'm exceptional at to a greater degree than I am right now. Mm. Both. I have liabilities that are too bad. And I have the exceptional in me isn't amplified enough yet. That's my reality right now. That's our reality right now. If I focused all of my energy on the things I'm not good enough at, every single day I wake up and I focus on what I suck at. And what you focus on is what you get. It costs people energy. It costs me a ton of energy to do, for example, a maintenance task. A maintenance task would be anything with a spreadsheet, responding to emails, checking the bank account, like anything that has to be done repetitively, mentoring a client. Mm-hmm. Right, these are things I'm not very good at when I have to do enough of it. But there are people on our team who are fantastic at it. Why would I get better at it when I'm fantastic at things our company needs me to be fantastic at that the other people on our team are not? I have to carry the burden, the load of what I'm great at that other people aren't.
How was that revealed to you then?
I was in a what I'm exceptional at?
Yeah.
The first time it was ever really touched on with me, I was in a meeting with a mentor and he explained there are three parts of a business that every business has. And he's like, and most people are spending the wrong amount of time on them. There are maintenance tasks, which is what we described, that it's doing the thing. There are problem solving tasks, which are exactly what they sound like. There's a problem, let's solve it. He's like, someone like you, Sean, solves it, so it's solved today. Someone who's good at solving problems solves it so it's solved forever. Mm-hmm. The difference is the follow through, the finish. And he's like, there's vision tasks. Vision tasks are about just thinking about where is this business going to go? Who are we going to be? Who do we need to be? How do we get there? Who do we need to know? What do we need to change? What are our values? How do we communicate it? All of that. That's the vision. He's like, Sean, you are good at the vision. So you are very good at the vision. I would go as far as to say you are exceptional at the vision. You're not very good at maintenance tasks and you're not very good at problem solving. Hmm. You can do both of those for yourself, but you don't do them well for anybody else.
It makes me think of the book Rocket Fuel by Gino Wickman, where he talks about two roles. You know, one is the visionary, mm-hmm. and then one is the implementer. Mm-hmm. You might use a different word than implementer, but...
I think you're right.
Those are the, like, you need the person who's like, here's the thing, it's the big, it's the dreamer, it's the pie in the sky, there's the thing that we're going at, and then the person who's going to be responsible for building the system or the building that gets...
Right, and depending on what part of our business is, we have that. We have you mm-hmm. in the brick and mortar. We have Mary on the HQ. And I'm the guy who's supposed to say let's be this
right. Let's go here.
Yeah.
So for like people who own their own businesses, right? You have a CrossFit affiliate. You have a gym. Yeah. You have anything. So, you need that, right? You need both.
You earn it. You earn the freedom to have that. You have to start off doing all of it.
Got it.
And that's a great place to learn. What am I great at? Mm. And what do I enjoy? And what am I great at that I enjoy? Mm. The mistake people make too early on, in my opinion, and the mistake, the opposite, the equal opposite, is early on people are like, I hate doing that. So I'm just not going to do it. A great example of that would be you're a great coach. You can help every client you work with in some way, shape, or form. You're not in it all for the money. You make enough money, but you're not a systems person. And so sometimes your client sends you a text message or an email and it slips through the cracks. You find yourself, they ask for a document that you said you were going to send him, like, oh yeah. And then you go, you find the document, you send it to them. They're like, hey, the tech isn't working. And instead of being like, oh, let me fix that, I'm excited because I got to find that problem. Other people have it. You get this, oh, the last thing I want to do is deal with the tech right now. Mm-hmm. If that's you and you're making enough money, mistake one is you don't hire somebody to do that for you because you've gotten used to living off of the amount of money that you're making. Mm-hmm. You spend too much money based on what your business is generating, and you need to earmark some of that money for somebody else to do these things because your business is going to fold. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of time. You're going to run out of energy to do it because these things are just going to wear you out. Now, the other side of that is somebody from the very beginning is like, I'm just going to hire someone to do all these things. I don't want to do them, so I'm just going to hire somebody. But you can't afford to pay anybody enough money in the very beginning to do these things. And so you get people who are willing to do them, but not who are excellent at them, mm-hmm. because you couldn't afford to hire people who are excellent at them, or even people who want to become excellent at them. It was just, my friend does this for me. He likes answering emails. So yeah, sure, he'll do it. My other friend is going to manage my books. Like he's, you know, no, he's not an accountant, but like he's run his own business before. He's down to mentor.
Yeah, they were the best athlete in the gym. So why wouldn't they want to coach?
Exactly. It's the same as that. Exactly right. So, or even he was the best coach. Why wouldn't he want to develop the coaches?
Yeah.
Not his skill set.
Right.
He's the best athlete. Let him write the programming. No.
Yeah.
So those are core mistakes people make early on. You have to earn the ability and the freedom to start to delegate those roles.
Which, but, by the way, all mistakes that I made in both of my gyms.
Who didn't? Find me somebody who's successful. They made those mistakes.
Yep.
The thing is, they recognized they were making those mistakes. They didn't continue to compound those mistakes blindly. Mm. So now what happens is you've made enough money that you're like, I don't need all the money I make to live off of. Just don't. But I'm energetically destroyed. Mm. I'm shot. Okay. Let's start going through all of the tasks that you do every day.
How long should it take for us to get there, to that point?
It's totally person-dependent.
Yeah.
If we're looking at fitness people, because let's just stay in a niche, the more charismatic, the faster you're going to get there. Hmm. You either have to be charismatic or you have to be so exceptional at the way that you coach that you're turning people away because everybody is coming to work with you. Hmm. It's one of the two. If you're both, that's great.
Cooking with gasoline.
Cooking with gas. Nuclear. So a great example of that would be somebody like a Ben Bruno, right? A Jay Ferrugia. These are people out there who I know of, Jen Wiederstrom, who have just smashed both sides of it. People love them. They're great at their job. And they don't have to worry about their next client.
Right.
And Ben actually he was on a podcast with Jay talking about how he released this template program. Great example. He released his template program and people were emailing him like, hey, I never got the thing. And he's like, oh yeah, sorry about that. Here's a refund. He's like, I just realized I'm not good at this. Mm. Here's a refund.
Yeah.
That's self-awareness. Now, so how long should you do it? I don't know.
Long as it takes. But you can set markers and KPIs, right?
You can, but I think it's a mistake to be that meticulous because then you're like, you're not in it then. I think, you know, for me, it's almost like you have to just pop up for air and be like, oh, I can get above this water whenever I want to. That's good.
That might work for you. I don't know that works as well for everybody.
Nothing works for everybody. I'm just describing like if you're so meticulous from the very beginning, do you ever start?
That's fair. I don't maybe not have that like nailed down like every step of the way. You should have something.
I can get behind that. Like, I need to be making $4,000 a month.
Yeah, I think about Ryan Pena. Like, he talks make, manage, multiply.
I don't know what it is.
He has a wealthy business podcast, something like that. Okay. I forget. But make is you get to 250,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And then you manage. So you bring on a team, you create SOPs, you create processes. That gets you to $1 million. At $1 million a year, then you focus on multiplying. You either go and you do something else, you add locations, you tinker, whatever. But those are like how he sets up his system. And he does real estate. So it's not necessarily.
Tell you what, I could have used that a long time ago because I didn't do that at all.
Well, it, like, it makes sense. At 250 a year, that's what, 27 a month? You can, 26?
20.
20?
20, like almost 22,
21. 21. You can do that as an independent owner-operator.
It's 20,883, I think.
Okay. You can get to 250 mm-hmm. by yourself. Mm-hmm. That $20,000, $21,000 a year mark.
Right.
Then it's like, month. All right, a month, yes. The 250 a year. Then it's like, okay, now I need to create a system. I need to have somewhere where clients can check in. I need to have somebody who can take them because everybody wants to train at 6 a.m., mm-hmm. right? So I bring on someone else. Then we create SOPs and processes and procedures. That might be like, that's a reasonable threshold to start creating all of those other things.
Sure.
Because that's how you can grow it, right? That's the manager, the lead part. You grow it to a million. Once you're doing a million, then you can think about next locations. You can think about new programs. You can think about things like that.
Sure. I can see what you're describing there. And that makes sense. I'm for that. What I'm not for is someone who's like, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this. Then I'm
Got it.
Because you're wrong.
Yep.
You're always wrong.
Right.
And if you're that well planned, you're never starting. And if you do start, if you're like the 1% who starts after planning all that much, you never get there.
No, because you're going to get kicked in the nuts so many times. You're like, what am I doing here?
Right. You plan an outside thing and it rains.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, does not compute.
Right.
So that's just an example, right? It's every in business, the one thing you can count on is everything is going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Business is not anything that happens in this vacuum of like, I make a plan, I execute the plan, I hit the KPIs, I'm successful. It's
an organism. It's like a person.
It's insane.
There's so like it all expands and contracts. Yes. Like it moves, it flows, it breathes.
Yes. So to bring us back to the core value, what we're describing here is I want you to get to the place that you can live in your unique ability, in your exceptional. And part of our job is to help you figure out what that is.
Mm. As a company.
As a company.
For everybody.
Now, for everybody. So if you're a business owner, we need to help you become the best leader that you possibly can. And the way we're going to do that is by figuring out what do you do so well that if it's the only thing you did, everybody in your business would just stand right beside you and support you because they can't imagine doing anything else. That's what a great leader feels like for people. Otherwise, you're the person in charge.
Yep.
If you're an employee in that business, you're a coach, or you own your own coaching business, same thing. How do we make it so that you are able to lean into what you're so exceptional at that it's the only thing that you're doing in a period of time, such that clients are attracted to you? And every employer in the world wants to hire you. You're irresistible to everybody. You're the flame, not the moth.
Mm.
When it comes to the individual, the client at the end who we serve, it's how do we shave away for you all of the things that are holding you back right now, that are piled, the mud that's piled on top of what you're exceptional at, that you've forgotten about, so that you can take pride in yourself again. And so that everybody around you can be like, I want to be more like that person. This is what active life has to do for people. That's what I mean when I say reveal the exceptional everyone we come across.
Love it.
Good. So that does that nail down the point that you were looking at?
Yeah. That's a full explanation of.
Okay. I wanna drop a little shameless plug in here for people. If you want the exceptional and you revealed, you have to reach out.
Why?
You have to ask us. Because we're not the company who's going to send out 1,000 spam DMs a day. I've heard of companies who are extremely successful financially because they've called everybody. I heard Alex Hormozi talking about this at his book launch pitch. I watched his book launch pitch because if this guy does nothing else well and he does do other things well, I'm not taking anything away. He knows how to stage sell. He's a phenomenal stage seller. And he talked about in his book launch pitch that his company has called something like one out of every 16 gyms in the world to see if they want to work with them. That's a lot of gyms.
Yeah, it's a lot of legwork.
A lot. Good for them, man. Good for him. I don't want to do that. I want to be every bit as successful, if not more, and I don't want to do that. I want people attracted to us so that we're the flame, not the moth. And there's nothing wrong with being the moth. But I don't want to beat into you that you should want to do what we do. I want to attract people who right now know I'm in the top 10%. And you want to be top 1%. There's nothing else in your life from a business perspective that's more important than being in the top 1%. When that's you, I want to talk to you.
That, like, I think about clients when we think about that and all of the things we were talking about on the last episode, right? About how all the excuses come up, mm-hmm. all the things come up. Look, the people that I find the most fulfilling for us to be working with mm-hmm. in person, it are the ones who are like, I really liked what I saw. I'm interested. I don't know. I really don't know how much this is going to, I imagine it's going to be expensive. I imagine it's going to take me a long time. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to figure it out. That's, they've already made the decision, mm-hmm. irrespective of anything that we talk about, that they're going to take control of their own life. They're going to solve their own problem. Mm-hmm. They're like, I think you can help me get there the fastest, the easiest. So I want to do it with you.
Yeah.
It's the people that I struggle the most with that I ever, I told somebody this in a DM yesterday. I was like, I totally get it. Look, I'm not here to convince anybody to do anything. Mm-hmm. You need to convince yourself mm-hmm. and your significant other and your kids and like why you need to do this. Mm-hmm. Because I got love and respect for you, but I'm agnostic. It's your life. Like, what you decide to do on the other end of this doesn't change my life at all. Mm-hmm. I want it for you and I can't want it for you any more than you want it for yourself.
How'd so that end up?
We didn't ghost mm-hmm. as I would expect.
Right.
Like, I don't expect somebody to get that and then immediately be like, you know what? You're right.
Right.
I expect the opposite. I expect somebody to read something like it and be like, fuck that guy. Mm-hmm. But they're going to be thinking about it. Like, that seed's there now.
Well, because no one else does that. Everybody else tells them, here's why you should do it. Mm-hmm. You really should. You would really benefit from it.
I'd rather be the guy every time who plants the seed that they like come back to 3 months, 6 months, a year from now. And it was like, look, I don't care if it's with us, but you need to start doing something. Mm-hmm. You need to start doing something and doing it for yourself because you deserve it. Your family deserves it. Your spouse deserves it. Your kids deserve it. Like I have a kid coming. That was the thing is, you know, we have a kid on the way. It's just not the right time. We need to be saving money. I said, I get it. And I'm going to offer you something way more valuable than me trying to convince you. I'm going to give you my professional opinion. I could have asked for permission to do it. I didn't. I just gave it. I was like, it's always going to be expensive. It's always going to take longer than you want. It's always going to be harder than you want. 10 years from now, multiply it mm-hmm. because it's more expensive. It takes longer and it's harder. And by the way, baby's on the way. 3 months from now, when the baby gets here, you're not going to have any more time. You're not going to have any more resources. You're not going to have any more energy. As a matter of fact, you're going to be more tired. You're going to be eating. You're going to be lucky if you eat a meal at a table.
You said all this to them?
Yeah.
Did they respond at all?
No. You're going to be lucky if you're getting a full night's sleep and you're going to be wondering whether you still have your entire mind and it'll get better. But all of a sudden it's 2025.
Well, and then the kid, now you have to hire a babysitter or a nanny.
Well,
then
exactly. You're thinking about the school and then you're thinking about braces and then like there's never a good time. Mm-hmm. There's never once. I've never met anybody who steps in and is like, this is the perfect time for me. Mm-hmm. Of course it's not going to be the perfect time.
Yeah.
You have to be the person to make the decision to save your own life. And how I left it with that conversation was, great, look, I'm going to help. I'm happy to help you. I'll provide a referral. I'll provide a recommendation, but you have to start something.
This is where I wish I had $500,000 to spend on a video. Because the video that just went through my head, you remember that commercial with the guy who swings a kettlebell and then he ends up putting his grandkid on the top of the tree?
Yeah.
The video that went through my head is somebody sitting in a meeting like that and they say, we have a kid coming in, I got to think about it. And then it just, it's like the guy says, okay, well, and then the meeting, you think the meeting is over when you're watching the video. But what's really happening is you're watching the guy's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching, baby comes out, he's happy, he's at home. And like, you just watch this person continue to get more and more and more dependent on other people, less and less and less healthy, more and more and more stressed. And then all of a sudden the kid's going off to college and like, maybe I should really do something for myself now. And then they go and they call and it's way too expensive. They can't get started at all and they're shocked. And then it flashes back to the moment in the beginning, like, let's do it.
Yeah.
That's
it's a good video.
It's a good video.
The other one I was thinking about, that's probably easier to do just here, right? We've got curbs everywhere. Like, you see the people who go up to the curb and they take their time to step. And then you like, they make the cut, like, what foot am I going to do it with? Do I make it? And then you see the people, same age, by the way, who take, and they just run and hop up to it. That's a cool video.
Yeah. That is easier.
Yeah. We'll get to the, I like the whole timeline one.
Well, remember, the point of this podcast was reveal the exceptional whenever you come across. The secondary point in this podcast is reach out. Holla at your boy at Dr. Sean Pastuch on Instagram. Say, I listened to the podcast. I want you to reveal the exceptional in me. You don't have to say that if you don't want to say that, but give me something that lets me know you are genuinely interested in being the best version of yourself that you can be at Dr. Sean Pastuch on Instagram. At Dr. Sean Pastuch on Instagram. At Dr. Sean Pastuch on Instagram. Turn pro.